Every once in a while, I have this experience where I shoot awake at 4 a.m. and I have this inspiration that I know I just have to write down right in that moment. If I don't get it down on paper, it will be gone forever. I can't go back to sleep. I can't, you know, just think, oh, I'll remember that. No, I have to write it down right in that moment or it's gone. Now, I have come to realize that it is in these moments that I, in my own walk, am able to experience God most fully. This is my experience. And, you know, I don't get visited by an angel like Mary, and I don't hear the voice of God calling my name like Samuel, and I don't get a vision of God creating a new heaven and a new earth like John. But what I get are these periodic 4 a.m. moments of inspiration. I wish that these wonderful moments of inspiration came in the afternoon, right? Or at a time when I was already awake, at some moment when I wasn't realizing that there are hours of the morning that no one on earth should ever have to bear witness to. But we don't get to choose when the Holy Spirit speaks. Sometimes we just have to listen. And so it is in these moments that I've come to realize I get the most direct and often most powerful insights into my own faith journey. And I've come to identify these moments as Holy Spirit wake-up calls. I mean, for the obvious fact that I'm being woken up from what otherwise would have been a very restful night, but also because we need these insights, these moments, to see what is happening in our faith, to be woken up to the realities that we are facing. Now, we've moved out of the Easter season now. We finished our series about how this changes everything. We saw how the resurrection has the ability to change our lives, to change our entire world, and now we're in the summertime, and school's out, and we can take vacations, and it's really hot, and so it's just easy to slide back into old patterns, to slip back into the things and the ways that once were. And we find ourselves all in need of this wake-up call, which is where we get our theme for the next several weeks, hashtag wake-up call. Now, I feel a little bit ridiculous even standing before you here saying the word hashtag out loud, because just saying hashtag is not, you're not supposed to say hashtag, you just know it's a hashtag. And so even as I stand here say hashtag over and over, it just gets sillier every time. I understand that. But the reason for using a hashtag is actually pretty well thought out. It wasn't my idea, so I can assure you that it was well thought out. The establishment of a hashtag wake-up call is this. Hashtags are our modern way of compiling like ideas so that we can search them, so that we can see them together, so that people can understand from all around the world what are we thinking about a single topic. It's very similar to what Paul was doing in his letters when he was writing. He was trying to take all these ideas that he had, compile them into a simple, single location so that that message could be shared with the world. This is perhaps idealistic, but this is what we are able to do using hashtags as well. So it's our hope that as we move through the summer months and as we move through this series, all of us who worship here at Lord of Life will be able to take this theme, take this hashtag, and use it to share our experiences, not only so that we as a community can be gathered together to see what we are experiencing, but also so that can be shared with the world beyond ourselves. But we'll come back to that in a few minutes. For now, we need to think a little bit more about the Corinthians. See, Paul had a long history with the Corinthian church. That's probably the nicest way that I can put it. We ready to go? All right. Paul had a long history with the Corinthian church. He had started the Corinthian church on his first missionary journey as he traveled around. He left, eventually wrote them one letter, which has been lost to history, wrote them a second letter, which we now call 1 Corinthians, obviously. And shortly after he wrote 1 Corinthians, he went to visit the church again on his second missionary journey, stopped by to see how things are going. And while he's there, we don't know what happened, but something did not go well. There was a big argument, and everybody got angry, and Paul ends up leaving. The whole thing ends in a mess of very strained relationships. And so it's in the aftermath of this blow-up, this time when somebody or some group of people were attacking Paul's reputation, that Paul has left the Corinthian church and now is gathering his ideas together to write this letter of 2 Corinthians, to write to this community and offer them a wake-up call in their own faith, to point out the ways in which they, as a people, have begun to slide back. They've seen the power of the resurrection. They've heard the story. They've witnessed how this can change their lives, and yet they've fallen back into their old ways. And so Paul offers them this wake-up call. Now, I don't know if Paul shot awake at 4 in the morning with a moment of inspiration that he just had to write down, but it is clear that Paul wants to gather these ideas together, to share them with the Corinthian church so that they can be shared with the world. Now, as we move through the rest of the book of 2 Corinthians, we'll see each week that there are any number of places where we could receive a wake-up call. There's no shortage. There's a wealth of material that we could use for this theme, but we're going to pick just one. Because when you're getting a wake-up call, you really can only handle so much at 4 in the morning, and so you're going to get just one. And this week, we want to think about clay jars. We're just going to set that there. We want to think about clay jars. So we hear this verse from Paul. We hear, "But you have this treasure in clay jars, so that no one would think that it's our gift, but that we know it is the extraordinary power of God." And so we have to ask ourselves first, what is this treasure? What is the treasure that Paul wants us to know we have in clay jars? Well, if we back up just a verse or two, we see that Paul refers to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, our treasure is to know God. As we think about that in our context, we'd say that our treasure is to have a relationship with God, a restored relationship with God. And it's a restored relationship that is made possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we have a knowledge of the glory of God, restored relationship with God, in the face of Jesus Christ through Jesus' death and resurrection. This is the treasure that we carry. And so then we have to ask ourselves, why on earth would you put this treasure into a clay jar? Clay jars are commonplace. Everybody has one. They're cheap, they're easily made, they're easily broken, they're not secure at all. You'd keep them on your shelves, they'd be filled with flour for baking or oil for your lamps. This is not the place where you keep a valuable treasure. I mean, even then, if a king had a valuable treasure, they were surrounded by guards and kept in a secure room. You know, this is why people built pyramids and catacombs, right, to secure their treasure. If we have something of such incredible, priceless value as a knowledge of a restored relationship with God, don't we want to keep that under lock and key? Don't we want to make sure that it's secure, that it's protected, so that any intruder would be dissuaded from ever trying to steal it? Isn't this the very reason that pirates always bury their treasures in the movies? Isn't this the very reason that we have safety deposit boxes in our banks and safes in our homes? And yet, Paul tells us that we have this treasure, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this in a clay jar. What if we have this treasure in the clay jar exactly because it is not meant to be locked up and secured? What if we keep this treasure in a readily available, easily broken, easily stolen container exactly because it is a treasure that is meant to be shared with the world? Not only meant to be shared, but it is a treasure whose value is only increased as it is shared with the world. It is a treasure that is meant to be shared with every person who enters our lives. It's a treasure that is meant to be shared to the corners of the earth. It's a treasure that, frankly, can never be locked away, secured behind guards and barriers, because the love of God will always, always find a way. The thing is, in general, as a people, we struggle with this idea that we have to share the love of God. Not intentionally, right? This is not malicious of us, right? It's not like someone comes to us and says, can you tell me about the love of Jesus? And we say, no, that's a secret. I can't tell you anything about it. It's my treasure. I can't say. Right? That's not what we do. That would be silly. But we do find ourselves struggling to share this message. And the Corinthian church was having the same struggle. And so it is not only that we have this treasure in clay jars, it's that somehow we have to gain a deeper understanding. Maybe that's not the right way to think about it. Perhaps we have to gain a clearer vision of ourselves. Nope, that's not quite either. We need to regain our identity in Christ. We need to remember that not only do we have a treasure in clay jars, but we ourselves are God's treasure. Each one of us, unique individuals that we are God's treasure. And God keeps us in clay jars for the very reason that we are meant to be shared. Our lives are meant to be shared. We cannot help but share the glory of the love of God that is poured out upon us when we remember that we ourselves are God's treasure. The problem is that we get caught up in hearing the lies that are fed to us by the world, the lies that tell us that we're not worthwhile, that our story isn't worth sharing, that we don't have some grand adventure or some incredible conversion experience or this, that, or the other, and we fall into the trap of believing we don't have a story that's worth sharing. And it's simply a lie. The story that you have been given, the story that you are living day in and day out, is a gift from God because you are God's treasure. And your story is meant to be shared. Because your story will be the vehicle through which someone else experiences the treasure of God's love made manifest in Jesus Christ. That's how this cycle works. We have this treasure in clay jars. We realize that we, in fact, are the treasure, so we share that treasure with someone else, and now they have a treasure in clay jars, and now they realize that they are the treasure, and they share it with someone else, and it grows because this treasure only gains value when it is shared with the world around us. It becomes more precious with each new life that it touches. Now, I told us earlier on that we were going to have a kind of task this week, right? I had you all take out your phones and take a picture of the screen. If we're up on the laptop, if we can turn on, thank you very much. This is our task, right? We have a mission to share this message this summer, and we're going to use our hashtag wake up call so that we can collectively see what we are experiencing throughout the week. So that day in and day out, you can say, wow, I had no idea that someone was being woken up to their faith like that. And so you can be sitting in traffic and say, look at this thing that just woke me up to something in my faith. Look at this way that God is reminding me that I am a treasure in a clay jar. In fact, I'm going to show you how easy this is. We're going to practice really quick because you all are very patient, and I appreciate that deeply about you. And so we're going to practice here. I'm going to dig my phone out. I happen to have Instagram pulled up for just such an occasion, right? We're going to do a quick snapshot. Everybody wave. Nobody wave. That's okay. You're all very nice. I appreciate your efforts. All right, we're going to type in here, 820 worship is ready for a hashtag wake up call post. It's really that simple. That's all we are asking you to do, is to take a moment out of your week, whether you're on vacation or you're sitting in the doctor's office or you're in your own office or you're stuck in traffic or you're at the barbecue, wherever you are, just be aware and share the experiences of how God is waking you up in your faith. We're going to have a little prompt to help us get started each week. And so each week in the Welcome Center, you'll see our photo booth out there with a prompt for you to get started. And this week, the prompt is simple. I am a treasure because, and you get to fill in the blank. And then you can take a picture of that. You can post it, share it, however you wish, so that you can remember, so that people around you can remember why you are a precious treasure of God. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, I don't have a Facebook, I don't have a Twitter, I don't even know what an Instagram or a Pinterest is, that's fine. Because social media is not the end-all of everything. So all we want you to do is write it down. Be aware of how God is waking you up in your faith. And then make a point to share it with someone. If you want to bring it here, we will gladly post it on Lord of Life's Facebook page and share your experience with our community. If you just want to talk about it in your Bible study or in your community where you live, that's great. Our point is not that we have to do this, but that we have to share this treasure. We cannot keep this to ourselves, because whatever experience you are having and however you are choosing to share it with the world around you, these little moments, these are our Holy Spirit wake-up calls. And each one only gains value when we take the time to share it with those around us. God loves each of you, and I do too.